Let's get some medical advice here from a brilliant NovoCare physician. Rhea, who we got here?
Dr. Andrew Sobel, hand and upper extremity orthopedic surgeon at Penn Medicine in Philadelphia and Berwyn. He's assistant professor of clinical orthopedic surgery at Penn. He specializes, Angela, in hands, wrists, and surgery.
Perfect.
Elbow surgery. For more information, go to PennMedicine.org.
Dr. Sobel, welcome to our show. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me back to talk about thumbs again. You know, we talked about Joel Embiid. I think I'm going to get pegged as the thumb surgeon only.
Well, no, you are. We have heard you're good in all different bones, but especially the hand. That's why they pick you. Doc, so you broke your thumb. What are the parameters here? What are we looking at? What is the best case and the worst case scenario?
Yeah, it's a good question, Angelo. So there are, a bunch of different bones in the hand, especially in the thumb. There are two in the finger itself and then one in the hand portion. Each of those comes with a few little tricks depending on and specific problems depending on where and how they're broken. So, you know, with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, that could cause the bone to fragment or shatter, or it could just be kind of a clean break. We don't know. We don't have that information. I'm not personally treating Bryce Harper, but we would want to see how badly the bone is broken. Especially if there's like a cut or a laceration on the skin from getting thrown at that hard. I mean, that could cause a serious problem for him. But all things considered, most people do recover pretty well from fractures of the thumb.
Doc, what would constitute the need for surgery?
Yeah, good question. So if the bone is really shifted, most likely that would probably benefit from some surgery. There's also a possibility of stabilizing bones just to get them moving a little bit more quickly. So there's an option in a lot of bones in the hand to kind of brace or splint and immobilize, let the bone kind of heal itself. In some cases, we choose to fix it with either pins or plates and screws to kind of stabilize it a little bit more so that people can move and do their thing a little bit more quickly.
But that does increase the amount of time to recover. Is that right, Doc?
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes it gets people moving faster, but it doesn't necessarily make the bone heal faster. It might get people back to sport a little bit quicker. It just depends on kind of how things are broken and what kind of fixation strategy. Sometimes plates and screws actually get people back a little bit quicker.
All right, Doc, here's what I'm wondering. All right, I know broken bones, best case is usually 6 weeks. But then when it gets shattered, when there's more, the screws put it at all. What's worst case? Is it the season? Could it be more than 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, with a really rare complication, I guess it could be the rest of the season. But honestly, most finger fractures, you know, with or without surgery, they heal pretty darn reliably and pretty quickly. And so, you know, my bet is that, you know, especially hopefully there's a postseason run, but, you know, I would expect him to be back by then, I would hope. But again, it's tough to say without knowing exactly what the x-rays show and his exam, you know.
All right, Doc, I got one more question for you because it really applies to a couple of stories we're dealing with now. It's the conservatism of doctors. The Philadelphia Eagles have been advised by their doctors not to practice in OTAs or in the mini camps. They cut half of the OTAs out and did not hold mini camps. They shut everything down 2 weeks before all the other teams in the NFL. Now we're getting word the Chicago White Sox have instructed their star players not to run hard to first base for fear that they would get injured. Do you know, Doc, is that good medical advice or is that ridiculous conservatism?
Yeah, it's a really good question. There's a lot of motion in MLB and especially in kids' sports to limit pitch counts and limit training, cross-train, et cetera, you know, so that people can avoid injury, athletes can avoid injury. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of kids pigeonholing themselves becoming 3 or 4 season athletes in the same sport, and then they develop these injuries that, you know, we don't see in, like, until people are professional athletes, but they're kids, you know? And so I do think that in some cases, we're learning a lot about, you know, how people recover and the need for rest periods. And so it's really not that abnormal to hear that spilling over into the NFL. We have seen it a lot in baseball.
But would you advise it, Doc? Would you say, doctor, listen, I'm playing on a baseball league, and I don't know if I should run hard. What would you say to him?
Yeah, I'm not, honestly, Angelo, I'm not sure about the running thing. I know the pitch counts for sure, but I'd have to base it on some data, you know, talking about sort of, hamstring injuries or pulled muscles or whatnot, you know, because of the number of times people are digging to first. It really just depends on the data. I'm sure they're using data to support this. I doubt that they would just be, making this up off the fly.
Are you an Eagles fan?
Ooh, that is a difficult question to answer on a Philly radio station, Philly sports radio station.
You don't have to. Up to this point, Doc, you have overcome your background of being involved in Rhode Island.
Yes,
you've overcome that and really rise to the top of your profession. So I won't put you in a bad spot. But Doc, thank you for your great expertise today.